Once again,
your sports radio.
Broadcasting live, loud and proud from Central PA Sports Authority.
Woo-hoo!
WFXS America.
98.7 The Fox.
Okay, what can we call today? Wacky? Yeah, a little bit of that. Wet? No, actually not today. Unless, of course, you have my lawn, which is pretty squishy after the past couple of days. So let's just keep going. Welcome to a Wednesday Let's Talk program. Hi, friends. Scott Giese with you. The Ironhead Jeff Byers, I guess officially, he's on assignment today. Officially. Again, if you're a long-time listener, you know where I'm going with this, right? All right. Every time he's on assignment, it involves food. Every single time. And he is doing a Penn State wrestling breakfast this morning, which is a big deal. Penn State wrestling team, very popular. A lot of people there, all that sort of thing. He's the voice for like 512 years or whatever it is, long time. And so he is away this morning. I told him, I said, hey, tomorrow, he's back tomorrow, bring me the bacon doggy bag, all right? I want the bacon doggy bag. Now, we're going to see if he actually does it. My guess is he will not. He will either A, forget, or B, eat the bacon. Kind of leaning toward B, all right? Anyway, he's having a good time. Good for him, all right? So we've got a busy program for you today on a not wet Wednesday. All right, show of hands out there. If you really need to mow your lawn right now, wherever you are, raise your hand. Ah, a lot of hands. I'm looking at Radio Land. I've got my special radar glasses where I can see you. I know I do. Although, my lawn is still rather squish, depending on where you walk. So hopefully by later this afternoon, like early evening, squish, will go away. It'll dry up or something. I don't know. Because if you've seen the weather, if you follow weather, which I assume most of us do, tomorrow, Friday, yeah, not that great. We've got Penn State graduation ceremonies coming up, of course, for the weekend. Saturday and Sunday, I think, look not bad, at least not raining. It might still be squish, depending on where you go. So anyway, let's see what kind of trouble we can get into today. Now, again, I mentioned we've got a super busy week because last week was nuts. All right, lost power for 3 days because of whatever that thing was called, derecho, downburst, whatever the heck it was, rather close to our studios building, which is just off of West College Avenue and State College. Just boom, all the poles came down, all the lines came down, and it took them essentially 3 days to put them all back up. So we had a bunch of guests last week. We had to postpone them till this week, postpone them to another time. We've got a great guest, I think, coming up at 9 o'clock. We've had him on before. John Marcus is a reporter for the Hechinger Report, which is an online news service that I subscribe to. I think they're really good when they cover education. I think they're outstanding. John's specialty is higher education. In other words, colleges and universities. And I thought, perfect timing. All right. Now, we actually had John again scheduled for last week. We moved him to this week, which, I don't know, may actually be a better timing move. So we're going to talk with John at 9 o'clock for a while about higher education stories that he has covered. Essentially, just what's going on with higher education right now. And it's crazy, all right, like a lot of other things. It's a little nuts to be involved with higher ed right now. There's a lot of question marks. There's a lot of balls in the air. What about money? What about controversies? What about this, that, and the other thing? What about schools that are closing? And so I'm very curious to talk to John next hour. Got a bunch of questions for him. Let's get a feel as the spring semester ends, not just for Penn State, of course, but for, you know, all colleges and universities out there. What's the feel right now? What's going on right now? What are people talking about right now? So that should be a good conversation. Listen for that. We'll be talking with John just after 9 o'clock. In the meantime, we've got open line time here for at least part of this hour. If you'd like to chime in, I've got a bunch of things. Maybe you have something. 814-954-7266. 814-954-7266 if you'd like to chime in. Let me throw this out to start. All right. Now, I mentioned this yesterday because yours truly, Dum Dum here, just muffed. I muffed on Monday. I muffed. For all the folks that get our 97 FM, the Fox Insider Newsletter, we finally, because we had to put it off because of last week, we finally sent it out, or I should say I finally sent it out Monday morning. And part of the newsletter, we have this fun little survey that we do for every edition. And this new one's about politics, because you people love politics. Yes, you do. Except yours truly muffed it, and I didn't do the link right. And I didn't realize my error until later Monday morning. I'm like, I screwed that up. So I resent the newsletter out again later Monday morning with the correct link for the political survey. And we've had a lot of folks check it out, but they didn't do the survey question. I may have to resend it out again today with a little note like, I really messed up. Please take the survey. So if you are a newsletter receiver, and you probably saw it on Monday, do us a favor. Go back and find the second message that I sent out Monday morning and reply to our little fun little survey question. I think it's actually four questions. That's it. Four. Not some big long thing. Ugh, I hate those. Four questions. You'll be done in a minute. Boom. So, if you wouldn't mind, all right, screwed it up. All right. I'm not a technophobe, but sometimes some of this stuff, like point here, go here, do that, go that, not so much. Anyway, hope you like our newsletter. Don't forget our website, 987thefox.info. We have recordings of past Let's Talk programs. Really good show yesterday. We had our guest about the upcoming Ironman competition here in the neighborhood, and I did not go last night, but I hope that a lot of folks turned out in Bowlesburg last evening. They had a volunteers meeting for this event. This is a 70-mile event coming up. It's on Father's Day. Again, swimming, biking, and running, and it's a half marathon. This is 70 miles, and it's a half marathon, okay, or a half Ironman or something like that. Like, oh, my gosh. They need, our friend Josh Cohn was our guest yesterday, they need 1,000 volunteers for this event next month. It's 70 miles long. They need 1,000 volunteers. Now, I'm fairly certain right now they don't have 1,000 volunteers. If you would like to take part in this very unique event just by being like a volunteer helper, again, this is on June 15, which is Father's Day. That's a Sunday. Do a little web search. I think Josh said if you just search Ironman 70, it's actually 70.3 miles, Ironman 70.3 PA, and you do a web search for that, their thing should come right up. Look for the link about volunteering. They would love to have more volunteers. Sounds like it's a fun event. You don't have to swim, bike, or run unless you want to. Well, you probably don't that particular day. But they really, really need more volunteers. Now, it's interesting. Yesterday, like last evening, I did a web search. I just put in Ironman 70.3. I didn't put the PA part at the end. I just put in Ironman 70.3. Folks, there's a bunch of these. They're literally all over the world, these half Ironman 70.3 miles. I was stunned. I just thought, look at them all. I mean, there's a big long list of these things. I mean, this is crazy. The one we're doing is the one for Happy Valley, which is getting more attention, which is cool. I mean, hey, that brings more attention to us. That brings more visitors to us. What do visitors bring with them? They bring along money. That's a very good thing. Where's my bell? It's way over here, out of range. There it is. All right. Anytime we can do that, that's a good thing. So, Ironman 70.3 PA, put that in your web engine builder thingamajig, and if you can volunteer on Father's Day, they'd love that. They would love, they're taking more volunteers, I'm certain of it. So go ahead and check that out. All right, there we go. All right, let's talk about a theme maybe for the next 10 minutes or so. Let's talk about elections. All right, three in particular. Three elections. All right, let's start. Of course, if you are a Penn State alum, you should have gotten a message, a couple of weeks ago about the Penn State Board of Trustees alumni election. All right, that should have been two and a half weeks ago. I think that message went out. And time is now running out, because if you're not familiar, this is an online election. The deadline is 9 a.m. tomorrow. 9 a.m. tomorrow, election done. So if you've been, I don't know, putting this off, or you missed the message, you want to go back and find it and so on, you have essentially 24 hours left to vote in this year's trustees alumni election. And I mentioned on an earlier show, just statistics, that the last alumni election, only 3% of the people of the alum list, only 3% voted, which is pathetic. I mean, that's horrible. That's terrible. Only 3% of those people voted. And I'm thinking, come on, 3%? That's abysmal. You got to do better than that. All right, now this is Scott. I'll be honest, I'm not a Penn State alum. I've got a kid who's a Penn State alum, all right? In fact, I should have asked if she voted. I don't even know. But 3% is terrible. But if you haven't voted yet, you've got 24 hours to vote. 9 a.m. tomorrow, it kind of opens or closes, all right? There are three seats open. Yes, there are 17 names on the ballot. And unless you're really into this stuff, you don't know any of these 17 people. Probably, right? Now, there's one write-in candidate you probably maybe know because he's been in the news a number of times. All right? Won't mention names. I'm not picking winners. All right? That's not my job. That's your job as for voters. All right? You pick the winners. But it ends at 9 a.m. tomorrow. Now, of course, this is graduation weekend, big, big weekend. The Board of Trustees is set to meet tomorrow and Friday. So I assume by the time they meet or start meeting, they'll have the final results all done online, and they'll find out who the next three people are. I've seen a few yard signs in my drive around the neighborhood. Not many, a few. Maybe one, two, three, four. Maybe only five names that I can think of. Again, 17 plus one write-in. So call it 18, if you will. I've only seen names for about five people. There are two guys running as a team. All right. We'll see if those two guys are successful. I assume at some point tomorrow, the university will announce, okay, here are the winners. Boom. All right, but 9 a.m. tomorrow is the deadline, so, don't waste time. All right, now, next up, we got the May primary. Now, you do know about this, right? This is coming up in a couple of weeks on May 20. And we're talking about the Iron Man, the fact that they could really use more volunteers on that one particular day to, help make the race go great. Poll worker shortage is huge, and it's across the state. Now, I don't know about us in particular, don't have that information, but the last time I checked, which was relatively recently, they are thousands, this is for the state, they are thousands of people short to work the polls for May 20. Now, this is actually a paid position. You can make some money. Now, granted, it's what, a day, 2 days? I mean, that's all it is. But it is a paid position. And they really, we're less than 2 weeks out now, and I'm certain they still need some poll workers. Now, if you're interested in that, I would say probably your best bet is to contact the county elections office in Bellefonte and maybe say, hey, I'm available. I'd like to, do something. What happens? Blah, blah, blah. And somebody there, I'm sure, can help you out. But this poll worker shortage has been around for quite a while, and it seems to be getting worse. Oof, not good. So watch out for that. All right, free plug alert. for our friends from the Center Daily Times. They're running some stories this week about some of the candidates that are on the ballot for May 20. And I've mentioned before, I despise this being called an off-year election. I hate that term. Like only, you know, running for federal stuff is important. No. All right. School board is important. Your township supervisor, if you're there, is important. I don't know. Borough council person is important. Those are all important offices. And, of course, now, what, judgeships, you know, and all that sort of stuff. These are important positions. I could argue just as important as those other ones. So this is not an off year. School board is always, I don't know, I've always wondered about that. Now, I can claim that I actually ran for school board 20 years ago. And I could be wrong, but most people, I think, run for school board because they're miffed about something. They're not happy about something. The previous board or the superintendent did this or this controversy happened with my school or blah, blah. I'm running for school board. And boom, there you go. That was me 20 years ago. I was unhappy about the way something was handled. And it got my dander up, and I thought, doggone it, I'm running for school board. And as soon as I got qualified, you know, the signatures, and okay, my name's going to be on the ballot, as soon as I did that, I thought, oh, Scott, what did you just do? What did you just walk into? And so I remember that campaign, if you will. I didn't campaign, all right, because I thought, do I really want to do this? And I remember I took part in one public, I don't know, what'd you call it, a town hall type event. I took part in one event, and my thought was, okay, my name is somewhat well known in the community, I think. If people want me to really do this, I don't need to campaign, they're just going to pick my name. Now, in this particular case, there were four slots open. I ended up finishing fifth. I think I went out to eat after I found out I came in fifth. Woo, yay! Yes. Haven't tried that again. Probably won't try that in the future. Now, we're not trying to dissuade you, because I caught this one thing. Again, CDT is running some stories this week. They did a survey of some of these candidates. They asked them different kinds of questions about security and money and all that sort of thing. Check out the Center Daily Times website if you want to, you know, if you're not a subscriber, whatever you are, to, you know, see some of the responses to some of those questions. One thing I noticed, and again, here we go, over in Phillipsburg, all right, Phillipsburg, Osceola, if somehow you're not familiar, Phillipsburg essentially is right on the Center County, Clearfield County line. So part of the district is in Clearfield County, and the other part of the district is in Center County. All right, so they're in two counties. And they have some Center County representatives for those folks on that side, and they have some Clearfield County representatives for folks over on that side. All right, that makes sense. I couldn't help but notice in the story that the CDT put out yesterday, they put in this note. I'll read the note. It says, no candidate has filed to run for the Phillipsburg Osceola 2 Center County-based school board seats. Now, over on the Clearfield County side, there were a couple of names down, or there are a couple of names down. But on the Center County side, over at PO, nobody is running. Well, of course, somebody has to take those seats. And apparently, according to the story, I don't live in Phillipsburg, according to the story, nobody is running. Now, that's not good, obviously. That's really, I mean, the PO folks are going to be thinking, wait a minute, what are we supposed to do here? Now, granted, this is a primary election in 2 weeks. The big one, the real one, if you will, is in November. Could something happen between now and November? Of course, yes. Yeah, of course, you know, that could happen. And for PO's benefit, it has to happen, apparently, because there's nobody running in 2 weeks for, I would say, very important seats. Now, granted, school board, you don't get paid. Again, that's the thing about school board. I've always wondered, why does somebody run for this? It's not like you're making money. You don't make a dime. You give up a considerable chunk of your time. So, I mean, bravo to school board members. All right, there we go. Bravo to you. But over at PO, they got a problem. They've got two seats and nobody's running. Okay, that's crazy. Last evening, I took part in a, I didn't take part, I watched a very interesting online webinar from our friends with Spotlight PA. They did a webinar last night about the idea of open primaries. Now, here in Pennsylvania, we have what's called a closed primary, which means if you're a Republican, okay, you show up, they give you a Republican ballot, you vote for Republicans to see who the Republican candidate or candidates are going to be for this fall. If you're a Democrat, you do the same thing. You get the Democrat side. If you're an independent, you're out. There is no independent ballot. If you're, I don't know, Green Party, you're out. I mean, this is a Republican-Democrat thing, and it's closed. Only Republicans can vote for Republicans. Only Democrats can vote for Democrats. Okay. Apparently, there are 40 states that have so-called open primaries. Now, an open primary, if you're an independent, apparently you show up. If you show up on election day and you say, I'm an independent, okay, yes, you are. I want the Democrat ballot. So in other words, you can choose which one you want. Okay, today I'm going to go with the Republican ballot. Give me that one, please. And then you go to the little booth and you make choices and you put it in. You're done. All right. Yes, there are a growing number of independent voters in Pennsylvania. According to the guests last night, it's now up to 1.4 million people, which is, that's a lot. That's about 15% of all eligible voters. And that number has just been growing, not by leaps and bounds, but slowly over a number of years. And the argument with a couple of the guests on this webinar last night was, okay, those folks are the fancy term disenfranchised because they can't go vote on primary day. And when this event started last evening, my first, I had a fear that, okay, this event's going to slant in one direction because there were three guests and the first two guests clearly are for open primaries. They very plain. And I'm thinking, okay, is this third person also? The third person, I'll say, was a bit more balanced, kind of a pro and con sort of thing. I'm like, all right, that's good. All right, because I was afraid all the guests were kind of leaning in one direction. I'm thinking, that's not a balanced webinar. It didn't turn out to be that way, so that's good. And the idea is, should non-Republican voters or should non-Democrat voters be allowed to vote in the primary to choose the candidates for one of those two parties, even though they're not a member of the party? And the folks, it was a very interesting discussion online last night. I'm watching this, and when it was all over, my thought was just, I'm not quite sold yet on this open primary idea. I'm still not quite sold. Now, one of the guests said, again, 40 other states apparently do this. Okay, good for them. And according to the one guest, there is no evidence that, you know, a whole bunch of, if you will, outside people come in and throw an election for one of the two parties, you know, in a certain, you know, certain direction. Okay, maybe there's no evidence of that, but still there is the possibility that that could happen. It's possible. What if a million independent voters suddenly said, all right, we all want Republican ballots. Okay, they hand them a Republican ballot in 2 weeks. If we were doing this, they give them a Republican ballot, and then somehow all million of them say, you know what, that person that most of the Republicans like, we don't like him, so we're going to vote for this person down here. Now, I always thought the whole purpose of a primary is for the parties to choose their candidates. And then, of course, you got the big hoo-ha in November. Now, with open primaries, it's like, no, that's not the way it works. So I'm still not quite sold on this idea of open primaries, and we'll take a break here in just a moment. I'm still not quite sold on this, but, you know, during this thing, again, this is a webinar, so there's a chat window, and people are putting in their comments and all this sort of thing, so I'm watching the people talking, and I'm watching the chat window. It's very fascinating. Somebody kind of tossed out an idea, and I thought, well, that would be interesting. What if we change this? Apparently, I think Alaska does it this way. I think it was Alaska, some state, where instead of having it based by party, you pretty much run it like a track meet. All right, if you've ever been to a big track meet, I mean tons and tons of competitors, and you have the 100-meter dash, all right, there are so many competitors that you have to have heats. So you have heat number one, and so the top, I don't know, three, four finishers in heat number one move on to the final. Then you have heat number two. Same deal, top three or four people in the heat, they finish best, they move on to the final, everybody else is out. What if primary elections were more like that? So in other words, you would have, I don't know, a race, let's say school board, okay? And the thing about a lot of school board races is a lot of these folks cross-file. The idea is they're on the Republican ballot, but they're also on the Democrat ballot. They're on both ballots. Doesn't matter what their party is. And so what if all primaries were run that way? So in other words, I don't know, mayor of State College, right? Let's just say that one. And let's say there are eight people running for some reason. Eight, and it doesn't matter what their party is. They can identify themselves. I'm a Republican. I'm a Democrat. I'm a Green Party. You're fine. But you have eight people running in the primary. And the idea then is, okay, the top three vote-getters will be in the general election come November. So in other words, we're like paring down the number. What do you think about that idea? Now, don't call in right now because we've got to take a break and we have our sports segment and so on. Don't call in right now. I'll have a little open line time later in this this same hour. You know, what about that idea? Now, that's an open primary, all right? And it wouldn't necessarily be run by the party bosses, all right? The guests last night are not big fans of party bosses, all right? That was evident from the get-go. All right, fine, I get it. I understand. But this whole idea of open primaries, closed primaries, cross-filing in this particular case, that's been done for years, especially for school board stuff. I'm on the Republican ballot, I'm on the Democrat ballot. If I win on both ballots, you're in. Now, I mean, maybe it almost makes, in a sense, it could almost make November moot. Like it's all over here in May. But if you did the idea of the heat idea where you're just paring the number down from like eight people to, I don't know, three people or something like that, and they're running for one seat in this instance, something like that. I don't know, that would be kind of fascinating. That might be an interesting change. That's not what the guests were talking about last night, but somebody puts this in the chat window. I'm like, oh, that's not about it. That's something to think about. All right, that's something to think about. Either way, all right, go vote on May 20. If you're registered, do the mail-in gig, show up, go vote. This is not an off-year election. It is always an important one. All right, we're going to take a break. There is a third election. I'll save that for a little later on, which is important to, well, it should be important to everybody, but certain group of people, it's very important. You're listening to Let's Talk on 98.7 The Fox. We got a lot of stuff on a Wednesday program, and we will do more with a lot of that stuff coming up right after this.
Your home for the Goon and Ironhead.
Ironhead and the Goon.
Exclusively on Sports Radio 98.7.
The Fox.
Let Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox make you a winner this summer with our Summer Splash Contest with Clearwater Pools and Spas in Center Hall. This Father's Day weekend, The Fox will be giving away a spacious hot springs hot tub during a Belfont cruise at Talleyrand Park in downtown Belfont. Stop by these fine locations and get signed up to become a qualifier for the contest. Dottery Equipment, Route 64 in Mill Hall. Fisher's Market at the Y in Milesburg. And at Clearwater Pools and Spas in Center Hall.
The 36th Annual Historic Belfont Cruise coming up Father's Day weekend, June 13th and 14th. Top-notch entertainment all weekend long. It starts out Friday night with an open cruise, a sock-off, the big car show on Saturday with over 30-plus classes of cars, trucks, and motorcycles on display. Plenty of sponsorship opportunities for you. Call 814-280-5881 or visit BelfontCruise.org. That's 814-280-5881 or BelfontCruise.org. The 36th Annual Historic Belfont Cruise, Father's Day weekend, June 13th and 14th. 15th.
This year's Penn State Board of Trustees election is about transparency and competence. And Pat Romano is asking for your alumni vote. Pat is a successful local business owner from Phillipsburg and a leader on the World Campus Alumni Board who believes in lowering student tuition, saving Commonwealth campuses, improving the Penn State student experience, and in honoring Joe and Sue Paterno by returning the Joe Paterno statue. Number 3 on your alumni ballot, Pat Romano will focus on Penn State's future and enough of the nonsense. This spring, vote for Pat Romano for the Penn State Board of Trustees.
If you're like me, you have neighbors that have zero-turn mowers, and some are satisfied and others not so much. I've had neighbors come over while I'm mowing with my Kubota and want to try it out. I told Bob and Clyde, you need to get to Daughter Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64, for Kubota. I have a Z200 25 horsepower with the simplest operation and a pristine cut every time. Even though I have a lawn and, shall we say, a challenging bank, ditch, and of course the wife's ornamental bushes. If you're trying to decide on a great lawn care machine, get to Daughter Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64. At Daughter Equipment, they're experts on Kubota lawn care machines that keep you moving quickly and efficiently. Your destination for Kubota is Daughter Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64. You may even meet my neighbors, Bob and Clyde.
Now, a fraternity or sorority is a brotherhood or sisterhood formed around common goals and aspirations. These men and women make a commitment to each other for life. The members that form a fraternity or sorority share their efforts, friendship, and knowledge, but they should never, ever look the same. That's why there's PAMP, Printing and More Printing. All kinds of t-shirts for all of your group's events, with the artwork as wild as... artwork as visually stimulating as your mind's eye sees it.
For quality you can see and wear, remember PAMP for customized t-shirts, letterheads, envelopes, magnetic signs, and business cards. PAMP has a low minimum of 12 shirts for printing, and no minimum on embroidered items. They don't charge art fees or setup fees. Pricing is simple and easy, and they have a quick turnaround. They're open Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Located at 136 South Harrison Road, Pleasant Gap. For more information, call 814-359-2447.
Your home for the Goon and Ironhead.
Ironhead and the Goon.
Exclusively on Sports Radio 98.7.
The Fox.
Let's talk for a Wednesday morning. I thought the sun was supposed to be out today. I'm looking out our big window and I'm seeing nothing but gray clouds. All right. Well, allegedly today is supposed to be a nice day. Hope it is, because there's a lot of sports stuff that needs to get done. We'll have a little open line time in just a bit. And again, we have a guest from the Hechinger Report talking higher ed. Some good questions there. That's coming up in the 9 o'clock hour. Yes, with all the crazy weather, of course, that we've had lately, you know, athletic directors are pulling their hair out. Some of them may not have hair, just trying to reschedule things. So again, rain in the forecast, I think tomorrow and Friday. So they're cramming right now. But anyway, let's start with some high school stuff from yesterday. State College baseball team lost to Cumberland Valley yesterday 6-2. Kellen Williams had a home run. Jay Cole, a couple of hits and an RBI. State high now 7-10 on the season. And again, no rest for the weary. They're back. They got to head south to Central Dauphin for a game this afternoon at 4:15. It's crazy this year. Belfont baseball team shut out Penns Valley 11-0 yesterday. Caleb Allman had a pair of hits, drove in three runs. Red Raiders are now 9-8. Penns Valley 1-16 on the season. Bald Eagle Area baseball team lost to Central yesterday 10-3. Caleb Iron went 3-for-4 with an RBI for the Eagles. Bald Eagle Area now 4-12, and they will head south in another direction as they visit Somerset this afternoon. State College softball team dropped a 9-2 decision to Cumberland Valley yesterday. Addison Harpster got the start of the mound for State High, had a triple in the loss. State College now 10-5 on the season. And yes, they're busy today. Now, it'll be here, but in this case, it's a doubleheader. Again, got to cram these games in. A doubleheader with Central Dauphin which will actually start at 2 o'clock this afternoon. That's before school's even out. Got to get these games in. Baldy Galeria softball team, big win over Central yesterday, 7-1. Lady Eagles got a two-run homer from Taylor Habovic, and they improved their record to 11-3 on the season. All right, some Penn State news. Lots of that. Penn State football team has picked up one of the top linebackers in the transfer portal. Amari Campbell has committed to the Nittany Lions from the last two seasons at North Carolina. Interesting, he's leaving Bill Belichick. Okay. Campbell last year, 90 tackles, 7.5 sacks, and an interception. That's actually over two seasons. Campbell, a native of Virginia, with 2 years of eligibility remaining. 24/7 Sports has Campbell rated as the 8th best linebacker available in the transfer portal. Yeah, if you follow Penn State football, linebacker's a concern. Depth at linebacker is a concern. And so if they can add another guy, another two guys, another three guys, and so on, that's a good thing. Penn State softball team opens up Big Ten tournament action today against Iowa. This is over at Bittinger Stadium at Purdue. First pitch will be 11 o'clock this morning. The Nittany Lions go in as the number 11 seed. The Hawkeyes are the number 6 seed. If Penn State can win today, they will take on number 3 seed Nebraska in the quarterfinals tomorrow. Penn State lacrosse players Matt Trainer and Kevin Parnum, both selected in the Premier Lacrosse League draft, which was held last night. Trainer taken with the 6th overall pick in the opening round by the New York Atlas. Parnum went in the 4th round to the Denver Outlaws. Now, here's a note. If you are going to the men's lacrosse NCAA first round game, which is here on Saturday, all right, yeah, right smack in the middle of graduation weekend, ouch. The game's not till 5 p.m. on Saturday. Now, if you go to this game, this is an NCAA tournament game, they are telling you to park in the Jordan East lot, or Lot 83, or the Orange H lots, all right? Now, because it's commencement, and there's tons and tons of extra people that are going to be here, here we go. No charge for parking. Hey! You got free parking. Congratulations. Probably because they can't figure out who's going to the game and who's going to graduation. So, free parking for this one. Hey! All right, there we go. By the way, the game is Penn State against Colgate. Penn State is the number 5 seed. So the game at Panzer Stadium will be Saturday at 5 p.m. Again, make sure you just park in the appropriate spot. Lot 83, Orange H. Commencement traffic should not be going to those two places. They could, they shouldn't. So if you need to go, go online, find a map, Lot 83 or Orange H, to avoid the commencement traffic. All right, that would be a good idea. Penn State student athletes. Yes, we still have student athletes. We like that here on Let's Talk. They continue to do well in the classroom. NCAA has data. They say the 23 Penn State teams, including, this is interesting, all 14 women's programs, had perfect APR scores. That's academic progress rate. Perfect APR scores of 1,000 during the 23-24 academic years. In other words, this is last year. That's outstanding. The team's earning a perfect single-year APR, men's basketball, women's basketball, men's cross-country, women's cross-country, men's fencing, women's fencing, field hockey, men's golf, women's golf, women's gymnastics, men's hockey, women's hockey, men's lacrosse, women's lacrosse, women's soccer, softball, women's swimming and diving, men's tennis, women's tennis, women's track and field, men's volleyball, women's volleyball, and wrestling. Perfect scores. Again, this is from a year ago. That's something to crow about. That's great. 11 Penn State squads got public recognition awards from the NCAA. That recognizes the top 10% for the whole country. Top 10% APR teams in each sport. And those sports were baseball, women's cross country, women's fencing, field hockey, women's golf, women's gymnastics, men's hockey, women's swimming and diving, men's tennis, women's track and field, and men's volleyball. Folks, I'm old Scott here. I'm old school. All right? Student athlete. It's good to see numbers like that. That's something to crow about. All right, if you're a Steelers fan, is your hair on fire yet? All right. No, Aaron Rodgers isn't coming yet. All right. Will he come? Well, after this deal, not sure. Steelers apparently are going to do it today. They're going to trade wide receiver George Pickens to the Dallas Cowboys in exchange for draft picks. The highest one I saw in one story was a third-round draft pick. Where is the iron head when I need him? Big Dallas Cowboys fan he is. Oh, he's going to be so happy. If you're a regular listener, you know it's the opposite of that. So Pickens is gone. Still don't know exactly who the quarterback's going to be. You just are losing your best wide receiver. Yeah, again, if you're a Steelers fan, is your hair on fire? Just a thought. Baseball. Paul Skeens threw last night. Through six innings, allowed two runs on three hits. Not good enough. They lost to the Cardinals last night by a score of 2-1. Skeens is now 0-4 in five career starts against the Cardinals. That's an interesting stat. Two teams will wrap up the series later this afternoon. Pirates, six-game losing streak. Let's see if they can break it today here on 98.7 The Fox. First pitch in St. Louis is 1:15. Airtime here on our airwaves will be at 12:50 this afternoon on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. The Phillies doubled up on the Rays last night 8-4. Nick Castellanos had a home run, drove in four runs. Kyle Schwarber, Alec Bohm had home runs for the Phillies. The Phillies will play again in Tampa again tonight. That game will be at 7:05. Penn State men's basketball getting a big guy. All right, big guy. Seven-footer, Ivan Juric, I think I'm pronouncing that right, who is from Croatia. Juric has played or has been playing at Sunrise Christian Academy, which I believe is in Florida. But he also does some international play because he's from Europe. He's from Croatia. In U18 European action last summer, Juric, again, is a seven-footer, 14.4 points, 5.9 rebounds, 25 minutes per game. He was ranked as high as the number 66 recruit in the country by the On3 service. Also had some interest from Nebraska, Iowa, and West Virginia. So I'd say that's a good add for Mike Rhodes to add to the list. They still need to do some adding. All right, the numbers, you know, either, you know, graduations, departures, all that fun stuff. Now they still need to do some adding. But hey, if you can get a good versatile seven footer, let's ring the bell on that one. All right, that sounds pretty darn good. All right, that's our look at sports here for a Wednesday morning. We're going to take a break. We'll come back. We'll have a little open line time. Again, we're going to talk with John Marcus of the Hechinger Report, some interesting views and stories about higher education. Oh, yeah, we have one of those across town. So we'll be talking with John just after 9 o'clock. You're listening to Let's Talk on 98.7 The Fox, and we'll come right back.
Would you like to profit from Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox? If you have sales experience, we're looking for new team members to spread the word to local businesses about 98.7 The Fox. Sell advertising with a lot of potential from all of our Fox programs, Pittsburgh Pirates baseball, and live sports events focused right here in Center County. For more information, contact manager Sam Jordan via email at foxsportshappyvalley@gmail.com. That's foxsportshappyvalley@gmail.com. Join us here at 98.7 The Fox.
Let Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox make you a winner this summer with our Summer Splash Contest with Clearwater Pools and Spas in Center Hall. This Father's Day weekend, the Fox will be giving away a spacious hot springs hot tub during the Belfont Cruise at Talleyrand Park in downtown Belfont. Stop by these fine locations and get signed up to become a qualifier for the contest. Dottery Equipment, Route 64 in Mill Hall. Fisher's Market at the Y in Milesburg. And at Clearwater Pools and Spas in Center Hall.
The 36th Annual Historic Belfont Cruise coming up Father's Day weekend, June 13th and 14th. Top-notch entertainment all weekend long. It starts out Friday night with an open cruise, a sock-off, the big car show on Saturday with over 30-plus classes of cars, trucks, and motorcycles on display. Plenty of sponsorship opportunities for you. Call 814-280-5881 or visit BelfontCruise.org. That's 814-280-5881 or BelfontCruise.org. The 36th Annual Historic Belfont Cruise, Father's Day weekend, June 13th and 14th.
Join the Nittany Knights as they perform Just Sing, 7 p.m. May 17th at the State Theater in downtown State College. This year's spring show will feature 2024 International Barbershop Harmony Society Gold Medal winners, Three and a Half Men, along with choirs from State College High School and Mountain Indian Park Forest Middle Schools. Tickets $30 for adults, $20 for children 15 and under. Get your tickets today at nittanyknights.org. Just Sing, May 17th, 7 p.m. at the State Theater. Made possible by a grant from the Happy Valley Adventure Bureau.
Ready to relax in style? Clearwater Swimming Pool Company is giving you the chance to win a walk-in 735L hot tub by Hot Springs at this year's Belfont Cruise on June 13th and 14th. This six-person luxury spa is built for the ultimate backyard escape. Loaded with powerful jets for a full-body massage experience, LED mood lighting for the perfect ambience, energy-efficient technology that saves money while keeping the water warm, and the trusted quality of Hot Springs Spas, the leader in comfort and innovation. Entering is easy. Stop by Clearwater Pool and Spa in Center Hall now or visit our booth at the Belfont Cruise on June 13th and 14th to sign up. Don't miss your chance to bring home this incredible Watkin 735L hot tub from Hot Springs. Check us out online at groupclearwater.com or visit our Center Hall location to view our full lineup of Hot Springs spas. And while you're there, be sure to ask about our lineup of Imagine Pools and Ocean Reef fiberglass pools. Make a splash this summer with Clearwater Swimming Pool Company and the Belfont Cruise.
As you look out onto your yard or acreage, you know it's coming. Lots of work and time. You may be excited about it because you have a Kubota from Dotter Equipment, which actually makes chores fun and frees up your time for other things. Or maybe you're looking at the lawn and acreage with a scowl because you don't even know if your lawn and garden equipment will even start. You need to get to Dotter Equipment just south of Mill Hall on Route 64 for Kubota and the answers. If it's your first tractor, it's hard to decide how much horsepower you're looking for, what implements you'll need. Whether you're gardening or landscaping and keeping up with property maintenance, just being behind the wheel of a Kubota makes you appreciate the Kubota Compact Tractor for its simplicity and ease. Your destination for Kubota is Dotter Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64.
Would you like to profit from Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox? If you have sales experience, we're looking for new team members to spread the word to local businesses about 98.7 The Fox. Sell advertising with a lot of potential from all of our Fox programs, Pittsburgh Pirates baseball, and live sports events focused right here in Center County. For more information, contact manager Sam Jordan via email at foxsportshappyvalley@gmail.com. That's foxsportshappyvalley@gmail.com. Join us here at 98.7 The Fox.
Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
Fox Sports.
Classical fans unite. Okay, with a beat behind it, that's okay. Let's talk here for a Wednesday morning. Scott with you again. The Ironhead Jeff Fires on assignment eating. Come on, it's a breakfast. That's what he's doing. He's eating. Whenever I'm on assignment, I'm like working and I'm in. He eats. Lucky guy. Anyway, we'll see him again tomorrow morning. We've got a few minutes of open line time if you'd like to chime in. 814-954-7266. Again, coming up in about 15 minutes or so, we're going to talk with reporter John Marcus from the Hechinger Report. His specialty is higher education reporting. This is a good week for that, I think. Very interesting stories that he's covered recently, interesting angles. And I'm just going to throw some at him. Like, John, you, I think, literally goes all over the country. Are other schools closing? How many other schools are closing? What are the difficulties that other colleges are having right now? And I'll probably bring up Penn State once or twice. He certainly knows Penn State. Not based here. He's with the National Group. So some interesting stuff with John coming up in about 15 minutes. Now, if you were listening earlier, all right, I mentioned a sort of an elections theme for this morning, I guess. We mentioned the Penn State Board of Trustees election, which has got 24 more hours till it ends, 9 a.m. tomorrow. That's it. It's done. The May primary election coming up in about 2 weeks, May 20. If you, do it by mail or if you show up in person, all that sort of thing. What about this idea of open primaries? In other words, anybody can vote in a primary. So if you're an independent, and again, that's a growing number of people across the country, including here in Pennsylvania, all right, a lot of folks, they're just fed up with Republicans and Democrats. You know, the folks talk about, primarily we're talking about the folks at the top, all right, they're just fed up with them. And so they're like, I don't want to do this anymore. I'm independent. I'd have to see some numbers. I don't know about the other parties, the Green Party, the Libertarian Party. Are their numbers going up or are they staying the same? My thought is they're staying the same. It's independence, which means I'm a free agent. I'm just here. But with our current primary system, it's closed in Pennsylvania. Those folks can't vote for anything in 2 weeks, and some people are not happy about this. There's a bill in Harrisburg to change this. All right, that's fine. If you have a particular thought on that, give us a buzz here. Now, I mentioned there was a third election. And if you follow news, you know what the third election is. They're electing a new pope in Rome, more specifically Vatican City. What's called conclave starts today. In fact, I assume Rome, I think, I forgot to look this up, is 6 hours ahead of us, I believe. So it's already mid-afternoon in Rome. They've probably already started. The first vote is supposed to be sometime today. Almost certainly, it will not have a winner in the first vote. All right, I think that's almost never happens. I've got a stat here. The last two conclaves were in 2005 and 2013. And in both of those, they wrapped up the voting. It was all done, picked the winner, by the second day of voting. Now, I assume the second day would be tomorrow. All right, so they're going to have a vote today. And again, if you follow this at all, it's fascinating to watch. All right, Scott here, I am not Catholic. I am Protestant. All right, with my Catholic friends, I refer to myself as a lowly Protestant. That usually gets a few giggles, but that's okay. It's like, come on, have a sense of humor. So I'm just following this because it's fascinating. All right. And it's very important. All right. The Roman Catholic Church is worldwide. It's got well over a billion people. I mean, we're talking about a lot of people here. And this would be the leader of that church, the new pope. Who is it going to be? Where's this person? Where's this guy? Can't say person. Where's this guy from? All right. And of course, if you follow this closely, there have been some names. Well, there's this guy who's maybe a favorite, and some guy from Italy is maybe a favorite, and some guy from the Philippines is a favorite. Now, that would be different if they ended up choosing somebody from, like, Southeast Asia and so on. That's never happened before. That would be historic. I've seen a name of an African cardinal kind of tossed in there. Well, there's never been a black pope. All right, so I mean, there's a lot of different angles and things. Whoever wins this thing, has to get 2/3 of the vote of the cardinals, and there are 133 cardinals voting. Caller, hold on, we'll get to you in a moment. There are 133 cardinals voting. Now, I did not know this, Again, I'm Protestant. I didn't know this. For the entire church worldwide, there are 252 cardinals, because it's big. But in order to take part in this conclave and vote, you have to be under 80 years old. So again, I said that's 133 guys. Now, folks, do the math. That means there are 120 cardinals over the age of 80, or at least 80 and above, I guess. That's about half the total. That's a lot of old guys, all right? Now, I'm not Catholic, I'm Protestant, but if I was Catholic, I would think, maybe we ought to get some younger people in there. You know, that's a lot of old guys. And again, they got this deal, they put this special chimney up on the roof, and if they don't elect a cardinal, they burn the ballots, and they throw something in there, and it turns black. And all the black smoke comes out, and people groan. Oh! But when they eventually get somebody, and my prediction is, I'd be surprised if it's 2 days, like tomorrow. I'd be surprised if they wrap this up in 2 days. This could take a little while. But once they get the winner, again, they take the paper ballots, they put them in the fire, they throw something in there, and white smoke shows up. And then everybody cheers. Yay! We got somebody. Who is it? And then we find out. All right, let's take a call. You're listening to Let's Talk, and good morning. You're live. What do you have to say today?
Good morning, Scott.
Hi.
Doing a great job, and I can't place my finger on exactly why that is, but...
Neither can I. I'm clueless.
Two things. One, I guess Biden's out. also, I plead ignorance on this. Is this a percentage thing of the vote? I don't quite understand exactly how this works. Well, I can't fathom it. You'd have to get all 133.
No. It's two-thirds. You have to get two-thirds. Now, whatever two-thirds of 133 is. You get that, you win.
Well, it sounds like a winner to me. Okay, I appreciate it. I had to plead ignorance on that. I was very unfamiliar. I knew it couldn't be everybody, obviously.
No.
We may not have a pope in my lifetime.
No.
So... okay, appreciate the info, and once again, great job today.
I appreciate that. Thank you very much. All right. No, two-thirds of the vote. No, a unanimous vote would never happen. Oh, my gosh, would never happen. Yikes. Let's see, two-thirds, I'm doing this off the top of my head, which is dangerous. Two-thirds of 133 would be about 90. Be about 90 guys would have to vote for a guy. All right, now, who? There's never been an American pope. At one point, one of the Canadian cardinals' names was like, hey, what about him? All right, like a favorite sort of a thing. Okay, now, Pope Francis was the first pope from the Americas. Now, he was from Argentina, so South America. I guess now we're waiting for the first North American pope, and I don't see that happening. Again, this is sort of a, if you will, a worldwide vote. I just don't see these other cardinals saying, a North American pope? Oh, we don't want that. U.S., oh, bad, bad, bad. Okay. But watch your news coverage, because this is big, all right? This conclave starts, well, now. And, again, the last two, they wrapped it up by the second day. The one stat I saw, all right, 133 guys are in this room. They're locked in a room, and they are sequestered. They have no contact with the outside world. They're really anal about that. They claim their phones. They watch out for ways that people can sneak notes and so on. Nope, can't do that. I mean, I saw something about involving the cafeteria for these guys this week, that they police the cafeteria so nobody's, like, sneaking messages in and out and so on. I mean, they are serious. They are locked in, these guys. 133 guys. Now, Pope Francis was the pope for 12 years. That's a considerably long time, I guess. And these 133 guys voting today, 80% of them were appointed by Francis. Now, Francis was a pretty liberal pope, you know, as far as, you know, political persuasions or whatever you want to call it. He was not that conservative. He was conservative on some things, abortion, all right? He was conservative on some things, very, very liberal, if you will, on some others. But if 80% of the cardinals were selected in the last 12 years by him, then you have to wonder, okay, they probably lean in a certain direction. So they're probably going to pick somebody, I'm guessing here, that's sort of with their leaning. Well, we'll find out here in the next few days. That's the question for me. Obviously, number one, who's it going to be? And number two, how long is this going to take? Because most of these guys apparently don't even know each other. They've never met. And so they've spent the past several days in Rome just, hey, how are you? I'm Cardinal so-and-so from such-and-such. Hey, how are you? Apparently, they're all meeting each other, in some cases, for the first time. And so that adds a unique little wrinkle to this whole thing. Very interesting stuff. It's just very curious. All right, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back, and we're going to talk
from State College, Lock Haven, and Bellefonte, Central PA Sports Authority, Sports Radio 98.7, The Fox.
Sports Radio 98.7, The Fox.
Let Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox make you a winner this summer with our Summer Splash Contest with Clearwater Pools and Spas in Center Hall. This Father's Day weekend, The Fox will be giving away a spacious hot springs hot tub during the Bellefonte Cruise at Talleyrand Park in downtown Bellefonte. Stop by these fine locations and get signed up to become a qualifier for the contest. Dottery Equipment, Route 64 in Mill Hall. Fisher's Market at the Y in Milesburg and at Clearwater Pools and Spas in Center Hall.
The 36th Annual Historic Bellefonte Cruise coming up Father's Day weekend, June 13th and 14th. Top-notch entertainment all weekend long. It starts out Friday night with an open cruise, a stock-off, the big car show on Saturday with over 30-plus classes of cars, trucks, and motorcycles on display. Plenty of sponsorship opportunities for you. Call 814-280-5881 or visit BellefonteCruise.org. That's 814-280-5881 or BellefonteCruise.org. The 36th Annual Historic Bellefonte Cruise, Father's Day weekend, June 13th and 14th.
This year's Penn State Board of Trustees election is about transparency and competence. And Pat Romano is asking for your alumni vote. Pat is a successful local business owner from Phillipsburg and a leader on the World Campus Alumni Board who believes in lowering student tuition, saving Commonwealth campuses, improving the Penn State student experience, and in honoring Joe and Sue Paterno by returning the Joe Paterno statue. Number three on your alumni ballot, Pat Romano will focus on Penn State's future and enough of the nonsense. This spring, vote for Pat Romano. Motto for the Penn State Board of Trustees.
Hey, how you doing? Welcome to XYZ Printing.
My son's soccer team is looking for new jerseys.
Well, I can do that.
Something in green with white lettering.
No problem at all. Right here in this box.
Those are white shirts.
Not for long.
Just because someone says they make custom t-shirts doesn't mean they're from Pamp.
What's the name of Yun's team up there?
The Tigers.
Is that with one G or two?
For quality you can see and wear, remember PAMP for customized t-shirts, letterheads, envelopes, magnetic signs, and business cards. PAMP has a low minimum of 12 shirts for printing and no minimum on embroidered items. They don't charge art fees or setup fees. Pricing is simple and easy, and they have a quick turnaround. They're open Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Located at 136 South Harrison Road, Pleasant Gap. For more information, call 814-359-2447.
If you're like me, you have neighbors that have zero-turn mowers, and some are satisfied and others not so much. I've had neighbors come over while I'm mowing with my Kubota and want to try it out. I told Bob and Clyde, you need to get to Daughter Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64, for Kubota. I have a Z200 25 horsepower with the simplest operation and a pristine cut every time. Even though I have a lawn and, shall we say, a challenging bank, ditch, and of course the wife's ornamental bushes. If you're trying to decide on a great lawn care machine, get to Daughter Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64. At Daughter Equipment, they're experts on Kubota lawn care machines that keep you moving quickly and efficiently. Your destination for Kubota is Daughter Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64. You may even meet my neighbors, Bob and Clyde.
Your sports radio.
Broadcasting live, loud and proud from Central PA Sports Authority.
Woo-hoo!
WFXS America.
98.7 The Fox State College.
Thank you.
you're going to be on campus this weekend, you're going to hear this. Ah, dear old pomp and circumstance. Oh, just tugs at the heartstrings, doesn't it? Welcome to Let's Talk for a Wednesday morning program. Scott here with you. Again, our friend Jeff Byers will be back tomorrow. He's on assignment again, eating this morning. Where do I sign up? I got to get that. But anyway, we'll have some more open line time later on this hour. But in the meantime, let's welcome our guest, John Marcus from the Hechinger Report, covers higher education. John, first off, good morning. Thanks for joining me today.
Thanks for having me back.
You're welcome. Yeah, it's been a little while, but I thought, you know, this week for Penn State at least, end of the semester, finals week, pomp and circumstance, all that fun stuff is going on this week. I thought, all right, this is good timing. So, John, I've got a bunch of questions to ask you from some stories that you've covered recently and just, I don't know, higher ed in general, chaos. I'm not sure if that's the right word. Maybe it is. We'll find out from you here in just a little bit. But first off, let's start off, if you would, for folks that didn't hear you when you were on with us. This was last year, actually. If you would, tell us something about yourself, your background, what do you cover, and then tell us about the Hechinger Report, which I'm a subscriber. I think you guys do great work. So tell us something about you and tell us something about the report. Go ahead.
Well, like a lot of journalism these days, Hechinger is a nonprofit that covers higher ed. Well, we cover all of education. My beat is higher ed. We also cover, my colleagues cover K through 12. Our stories run in national media, NPR, the Washington Post, the New York Times, and local media to sort of help, readers see what's going on in higher education. It's not a particularly transparent industry, or it hasn't been historically. And a lot of what we're going to talk about today speaks to that. What we think, the way we think about higher education is a little bit of a mythology, that it's hard to get into college, for example, when in fact it's becoming much easier to get into college, that tuition continues to go up, when in fact, when adjusted for inflation, tuition is going down, although obviously it's still very expensive. So that's the kind of journalism that we do.
All right, John, you've seen my question list because you just hit a bunch of things right there. That's very good. Now, you write stories. You also have a podcast series called College Uncovered that I believe you do with a partner. Right off the bat, what is this podcast, and is this available on all the podcast outlets? Where can folks find those?
Yes, absolutely. College Uncovered is free on any number of podcast channels. You can get it from PRX. It's an NPR podcast. We team up with an NPR affiliate in Boston, GBH in Boston, and it speaks directly to consumers. So if you're a student or a family of a student or a prospective student, we don't really talk as much as we do in our journalism about things like policy or politics. We talk about what you need to know, how you can get more financial aid, some of the issues that I mentioned earlier about how tuition's actually going down, but the prices that are really going up, as many of your students and their parents might already know, is dorms and dining, which people perceive these to be kind of break-even products and services that universities provide. In fact, universities make about 13% of their revenue from those things, and their prices are going up much faster than inflation, but tuition's going down. So a lot of information that might help families and students make decisions about where to go to college, how to get the most out of their education, and how to get their educations at the best possible price.
So in other words, John, they get you somehow going one way or the other. Would that be accurate?
You know, they get you even, it's graduation season, as you mentioned. A lot of universities, this is mind-blowing, after all of the bills and the fees and the housing and the dining plans, they charge you a graduation fee. And I've written about students who didn't know they had to pay a graduation fee and as a result couldn't get their transcripts or their degrees. Without their degrees or transcripts, they couldn't get a job. Without a job, they couldn't pay their graduation fee. So there's a lot of things that still happen in higher education that make no logical sense.
Oh, for goodness sakes. All right, now, John Scott here. I'm kind of old. All right, I graduated college 40 years ago. Did they have these fees and stuff back then, or is this a new
thing? Yeah, so the fees have always existed, but they've accelerated significantly. There was some research that just came out this week that showed that fees are increasing much faster than tuition. So what often happens, especially at public universities and colleges, is that legislatures ban them from raising tuition. So what they do to get around that is they raise fees, and there are litanies of fees. We did a story about this a few years ago, and we found a fee that cost, I'm not making this up, $4,000 a semester, and it was called the Academic Excellence Fee. And you would think that academic excellence is included, but they charged extra, $4,000 a semester. This was for a graduate program at a public university in New York City. And they wouldn't tell us what it was for until we filed a public records request. And it was for a lot of things that you expect you just get out of tuition. So fees are a price by another name. They've always been around, yes, but universities are resorting to them increasingly. They make it hard for people to budget how much money to set aside for college because they don't always know about these fees in advance. There are a few places that have eliminated fees or rolled them into the tuition to make costs more predictable for students. But for the most part, fees often can surprise students, especially fees that cost $4,000 a semester, and they can derail students because the students just run out of money.
Very interesting. Now, all right, this is maybe connected. So I was doing prep work for our interview and your podcast, again, folks, called College Uncovered. Check it out. You guys have a line in there that says, colleges don't want you to know how they operate. Mm-hmm. Now, first off, I quoted that right. And then my next question, I guess, is why? Why can't they just be straightforward, John? I don't understand.
You know, that's a great question. I wish I could answer. But I will tell you what we mean by that is that, for instance, there is a mythology in America that it's really hard to get into college. In fact, 80% of applicants to college collectively are accepted. We tend to focus on these incredibly selective institutions like Brown that takes 1 out of 20 applicants or Stanford or Harvard. Those are great to aspire to institutions like that, but their selectivity is very high and their acceptance rates are very low. In general, it's not that hard to get into college, and it's actually 8 percentage points easier than it was 10 years ago because the number of students, as I think you will discuss, the number of students is going down. The number of 18-year-olds is going down, especially in states like Pennsylvania. And so this mythology benefits universities because, of course, if you're selling something, you want people to think that they're lucky that you're even talking to them, that you're even considering admitting them to your institution. In fact, it's a buyer's market, and they need you right now more than you need them.
Very interesting. All right, let's continue down that lane. A term that it's a pretty famous term now, I've used it a bunch of times, is the enrollment cliff, which I guess is hitting right about now, or maybe it's next year. John, first off, for folks who aren't familiar, what is the enrollment cliff? What is this thing? And why are colleges probably everywhere fretting over this? What's going on?
Yeah, this is, you mentioned that it's graduation week. If I ran a college or a university, I would be so glad that this year is over. You cannot imagine a greater perfect storm of problems facing universities and colleges. Much of it underneath the chaos that you read about every day in the news, the political attacks and the culture wars. And the most significant one for universities and colleges is this enrollment cliff or demographic cliff, where the number of 18-year-olds is about to decline. Why? Because people have fewer children during economic downturns, and if you think about it, one of the biggest economic downturns in the history of this country was almost exactly 16 years ago in 2008. During the Great Recession, people started having fewer children. Children cost money. Child care cost money. Fast forward 18 years, that hits next year. So this current class of graduating high school seniors is the last big class. And then it goes down steadily until 2039. There'll be 650,000 fewer 18-year-olds every year. That's a big hit for universities. It goes up slightly, and now there's a prediction of a second cliff beginning in 2041, a second decline. So there's just not enough customers for universities, and that's about to hit, as you said, next year.
Now, this is, I mean, this isn't a precipitous dive. This is just a very gradual numbers going down, right, John? It's not, this is not like literally going off a cliff. Isn't this more of a gradual thing?
I'm looking actually at a graph of this cliff, and it's actually a pretty steep decline, but it's important to keep in mind that this follows an 11% decline in enrollment already. There's millions fewer college students than there were 10 years ago. Because after 2011, another thing that happens in economic downturns is that people go back to college. Often they've lost their job, they want to reskill, they want to get promoted, and that happened until about 2011, and then people stopped going to college. That hit most acutely at community colleges. Enrollment went down 37%. In four-year universities and colleges, enrollment went way down. I mean, you're seeing that in Pennsylvania. You've been seeing that for quite a while. This demographic cliff will hit unevenly. It's already been underway in the Northeast and the Midwest. What happens next year is it hits most of the country. There are still some states where the number of 18-year-olds is going up, and we can talk about that because those are very specific groups of 18-year-olds that are going up that universities have not had a good record enrolling, and now they have to figure out a way to recruit them, namely Hispanic 18-year-olds. That's the only growth area for colleges, the only racial and ethnic group that is increasing in number is Hispanic. The number of white and black and Asian students is going down. So that creates more problems for universities. They their acceptance rates are going up because they have fewer applicants. They have to dole out more financial aid in the competition for those students. There's obviously now going to be, it seems logical, a big dip in the number of international students. 10% of the undergrads at Penn State are international. Are they going to keep coming? Would you? When you're reading in India and China right now about geopolitical tensions and about visas being revoked and students being deported. So all of these things are coming at the same time, and all of them will affect students. And they'll not only affect students, but by the way, that decline in the number of international students who pay full tuition, fewer of them mean American students will have to pay more. They're essentially the international market has been subsidizing U.S. students. International students bring $43 billion a year to the United States. That number is also almost certainly going to go down. It already is. It's been going down even before this current presidential administration. The very widely publicized steps this administration has been taking that affect our international students will only likely bring those numbers down some more.
Well, I have a note about the Hispanic students. I saw that story of yours that, okay, there's one going up. Now, John, does that, how do I phrase this, does that benefit certain schools over other schools? I've never been a believer in taking a group of people, in this case Hispanic students, and think, okay, they all think and act alike. I've never been a fan of that. And any other group that's out there. But as far as if this is a growing number of students, does that maybe, I don't know, benefit certain schools or certain areas of the country as opposed to other areas? We're up here in Pennsylvania in the Northeast. Maybe Hispanic students, this is not a hot place to go if you're an Hispanic student. Am I right on any of that?
Yes, there's a number of answers to those questions. One is, as you say, Hispanics aren't monolithic. There are many Hispanic families in rural places, including in Pennsylvania. Whether Hispanic young people from Texas will want to move to Pennsylvania, that's a different question. Will it benefit certain states more than others? There are some states where there is no demographic cliff, thanks predominantly to Hispanic students, such as Texas. They are not going to see a decline in the number of 18-year-olds, but what they will see is every other state in America going after those same students, trying to get them to move to Pennsylvania or New England or the Midwest. And some institutions will benefit. There's a new designation called Hispanic Serving Institutions. Those are institutions with large numbers of Hispanic students. And I take your point and agree with you that, you know, not everyone in a particular group is the same. But I think it's human nature for all of us, no matter what our backgrounds, to want to be around other people like us. And so Hispanic Serving Institutions will benefit. And some institutions that have done a really good job of having a strategy of attracting Hispanic students will do well. I went to a small Catholic university outside Chicago to report that story, and they have slowly, a lot of Hispanic students, a lot of Hispanic families in Chicago, they have done a lot of small things like provided Spanish language orientation for parents who might not speak English, who are immigrant, legally documented American immigrants to the United States from Spanish-speaking countries, whose English still isn't that good and who need their children to translate. I spoke to students who were so grateful that the school provided translation for their parents so that they didn't have to do it. Little things like that. Now, there's a lot of concern that the pushback against diversity initiatives could affect those kinds of programs. And we'll see if that happens too, because colleges, again, right now really need to attract and support and retain Hispanic students. That's the one growth area. If they have support programs for those students, will they have to cancel them, because of all the pushback against, diversity and equity? That's an open question too. So, even when we set out to do that story, we reached out to a number of colleges and universities that had successfully increased their number of Hispanic students, and they wouldn't talk to us. Colleges and universities are trying to keep a very low profile right now. They don't want to put their heads up and get fired on. So there's a lot to unpack around that.
So colleges and universities, John, either have to or are coming up with unique new angles to attract students. Now, you folks had a story recently about something called direct admission. Can you explain what that is? Because when I read that, I'm thinking, wow, you pretty much just have to show up and you're in. All right, what is direct admission?
This is a fascinating new phenomenon that's grown very quickly. It started in the West in some rural states that were concerned about the proportion of students going on to college. That's another issue that's facing colleges right now. Fewer high school graduates are going to college because they question the value or the return on their investment. In 2016, we hit a peak of 70% of high school graduates nationwide going on to college. That's now fallen from 70% to 62%. That is only exacerbating the demographic changes. Even where there are 18-year-olds, they don't want to go to college anymore. So some of these Western states started a process under which if you met certain academic cutoffs, you were automatically admitted to public universities without even having to apply. This worked fairly well, and now other colleges and universities that are desperate for students are doing the same thing. There's a new process by which people apply to college called the Common App or the Common Application. It means that you only have to fill out one application for several institutions. And not every university or college participates in this, because many of them have their own applications or they have essays they require you to write. But the Common App has grown significantly, and now the Common App allows its member institutions to offer admission to students that didn't apply to them. So you might apply to a particular college through the Common App and suddenly get a letter or an email from a different institution saying, we've already admitted you, and we'll give you this financial aid if you come here. This speaks to the reality that it's not as hard to get into college as people think. Some colleges will come to you even if you don't apply to them. That's how desperate many of them are for students right now.
All right, we'll take a break in a moment. John, the common app thing, I'm vaguely familiar with that. Now, I mentioned to listeners yesterday, my youngest just turned 30 yesterday. God, I'm old. Holy fright. But I kind of remember this common app. But one thing I remember about that common app is, at least here in Pennsylvania, none of the, I'll call them big schools, were on the list, like Penn State or Pitt or Temple or Carnegie Mellon, I don't think. These were like all smaller schools that were in this, I don't know, pool of schools that somehow one application goes to all of them. Is that the case nationwide or is that just here? These were all small schools on the list that I saw.
Yeah, again, not all of the not all of colleges and universities accept the Common App. But more than 1,000 of them do. The more selective universities and colleges, some of them do accept the Common App, but not all of them. It's also a fairly new innovation. It's a nonprofit. It's not a commercial process, but it doesn't make a profit. But it has been increasing the number of colleges, again, there's about 1,000 of them. So not every college will accept it, and that is a national. That's true nationally, but many of them do.
All right, John, let us take a break here. We're talking with John Marcus, who is a reporter for the Hechinger Report covers education issues, and John especially covers higher education issues. Yeah, we're in a different time now. It's kind of wild. Kind of scary, I guess, if you work at a college or university, and we'll get to more of that when we come back from this break. You're listening to Let's Talk on 98.7 The Fox on finals week. That's a coincidence, not really. We will come right back.
Your home for the Goon and Ironhead.
Ironhead and the Goon.
Exclusively on Sports Radio 98.7
The Fox.
Let Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox make you a winner this summer with our Summer Splash Contest with Clearwater Pools and Spas in Center Hall. This Father's Day weekend, The Fox will be giving away a spacious hot springs hot tub during a Belfont cruise at Talleyrand Park in downtown Belfont. Stop by these fine locations and get signed up to become a qualifier for the contest. Dottery Equipment, Route 64 in Mill Hall. Fisher's Market at the Y in Milesburg and at Clearwater Pools and Spas in Center Hall.
The 36th Annual Historic Belfont Cruise coming up Father's Day weekend, June 13th and 14th. Top-notch entertainment all weekend long. It starts out Friday night with an open cruise, a stock-off, the big car show on Saturday with over 30-plus classes of cars, trucks, and motorcycles on display. Plenty of sponsorship opportunities for you. Call 814-280-5881 or visit BelfontCruise.org. That's 814-280-5881 or BelfontCruise.org. The 36th Annual Historic Belfont Cruise, Father's Day weekend, June 13th and 14th.
This year's Penn State Board of Trustees election is about transparency and competence. And Pat Romano is asking for your alumni vote. Pat is a successful local business owner from Phillipsburg and a leader on the World Campus Alumni Board who believes in lowering student tuition, saving Commonwealth campuses, improving the Penn State student experience, and in honoring Joe and Sue Paterno by returning the Joe Paterno statue. Number 3 on your alumni ballot, Pat Romano will focus on Penn State's future and enough of the nonsense. This spring, vote for Pat Romano for the Penn State Board of Trustees.
If you're like me, you have neighbors that have zero-turn mowers, and some are satisfied and others not so much. I've had neighbors come over while I'm mowing with my Kubota and want to try it out. I told Bob and Clyde, you need to get to Daughter Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64, for Kubota. I have a Z200 25 horsepower with the simplest operation and a pristine cut every time. Even though I have a lawn and, shall we say, a challenging bank, ditch, and of course the wife's ornamental bushes. If you're trying to decide on a great lawn care machine, get to Daughter Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64. At Daughter Equipment, they're experts on Kubota lawn care machines that keep you moving quickly and efficiently. Your destination for Kubota is Daughter Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64. You may even meet my neighbors, Bob and Clyde.
Your home for the Goon and Ironhead.
Ironhead and the Goon.
Exclusively on Sports Radio 98.7.
The Fox.
Thank you. And for you high schoolers out there, first off, why aren't you in school? All right, hello, come on. A few weeks for you, right? Penn State this weekend and a few weeks for you. Just wait. You're listening to Let's Talk on 98.7 The Fox. Again, we're talking with our guest, John Marcus, from the Hechinger Report. Folks, these folks are great. I shouldn't say guys. There are plenty of gals, too. They're great. Website, HechingerReport.org. That's spelled H-E-C-H-I-N-G-E-R. HechingerReport.org. John, I've been a financial supporter of you guys for several years because I really like your work. K-12, higher ed, some other areas there. How many people work for the Hechinger Report? It seems like, are you guys growing?
That's a good question. I think there's about 20 of us.
Well, that's not very many. Although, I was expecting more than that.
Yeah, all over the country. Well, we spread ourselves. We do a lot for a small group, and we also work with other journalists, and we partner with other nonprofits and with for-profit media as well on stories that we do together.
All right, now kind of piggybacking on what we were talking about in the last segment, you folks had a story, I think it was just called The Missing Men, where it was, is this right? The breakdown in college right now is women 60%, men 40%. Is that right?
Yep, that's the collective average, and in some institutions even more. We also did a segment about that on our podcast, and we went to a University of Florida that's 70% women. This is actually an international phenomenon in developed nations. More women than men are going to college. And there's a lot of reasons behind it, but the implications of it are worrying. I want to be very clear at the outset, not everybody has to go to college, but somebody has to go to college, and we're... You know, we're running out. Right now, we talked about the number of 18-year-olds being down, but this is happening at the same time as huge numbers of retirements among baby boomers. So we have a lot of people leaving the workforce and not enough people coming into it. So if people, and a lot of people are understandably sort of skeptical about how universities and colleges perform. We've talked about some of the ways that they're not entirely honest with us. People that have gone through the financial aid process will also know that it is, some critics say, purposely confusing to understand how much financial aid you're going to get. There are a lot of other reasons that people are a little jaundiced about higher education. There's a lot of criticism about, this perception that colleges are woke. But we really need them. We really need people to come out with skills to work in the knowledge economy. It's a global competition for people that have the talent that are required by employers. And this decline in the number of 18-year-olds coinciding with the baby boomer retirements is a big problem. And the fact that men are even less likely than women now to go to college means even fewer prospective workers with the skills we need.
Well, if you're a college guy and you need a date, all right, those numbers are great, I suppose. But, John, where are the men going? I mean, what are they doing? What they're going somewhere. What's going on?
Yep. So men are more likely than women to go right out of high school into the workforce, into what we used to call blue-collar jobs. They are likely to go into the trades, which pay very well, and that's actually a pretty smart decision to make. The problem over time is that often those jobs require manual labor, and when these men turn 50, they can't do them anymore, and they don't have a post-secondary credential to fall back on. And so for some of them, there is this kind of frustration waiting for them down the road that their opportunities might be fewer. But again, there's a lot of nuance here. Women are more likely to go to college because, well, first of all, these proportions used to be reversed. Far more men used to go to college than women. As women have moved into the economy, we encouraged more women to go to college. We didn't encourage men. So we've done a very successful job at encouraging women to go into to go to college. Women also tend to predominate in fields that do require a degree. teaching, social work, nursing. So they're more likely to have to go to college. It doesn't mean they're going to make a ton more money than men. It just means that they happen to choose fields that you need to go to college for. But men, again, based on research that we've reported, are more likely to be disciplined in the lower grades. They're less likely to graduate from high school. All of these things sort of cut into the number of men going to college, and now it's 60-40.
All right. Now, John, we mentioned earlier these colleges and universities have kind of come up with new angles and strategies to try to attract students and so on. Have you come across any situations of schools specifically going after young men to sign up for their school? Are schools starting to do something in that?
Oh, yeah. Many of them are doing that. And in all kinds of different ways. So they'll have focus groups among men to see what they like. Men tend to like programs in entrepreneurship. So one flagship public university, the University of Vermont, started a competition for high school students open to men and women, boys and girls in high school. But it was an international competition. And as they predicted, it tended to attract more men. The prize was a free scholarship to, or 100% free ride at the University of Vermont. But it also exposed a lot of men to the, or high school boys, to that university. And they also do things like promote their athletic program. And the day that most prospective students visit is on Fridays, and they have this thing now at the university on campus where you're all supposed to wear the school colors, the mascot walks around, the band plays, and so that they find is attractive to men. The University of Montana has classes in sustainable hunting and classes in forestry, both of which they found are attractive to men in their market, which is the West, and so they promote those to prospective students, and that's actually worked for them. It's attracted more men to come to University of Montana. Other institutions are expanding their athletic program, which they feel attracts men. That's a riskier bet because it's expensive to do it, and it works about half the time that more men come to your college because you add more T's. So all of these strategies are ways to attract more men. All of them are part and parcel of this need to recruit more students generally.
John, have you ever been to Penn State?
You know, I go to colleges for a living, and I have not ever been to Penn State.
Oh, well, you got to come by and come visit us.
I should.
Yeah,
I should.
I mean, they've got a football team, which is pretty
so
good.
I've heard.
All right.
Yeah, I've read.
Am I crazy? All right, for a university strategy, somehow fold in the football team to high school boys, like, hey, come to Penn State, you can cheer for us, and you'll be great. Something like that. Is that along the lines of what you just described?
Totally. Not only recruiting people to come and cheer on the team, but also to, you know, starting football teams. And these are often the institutions right now that are starting programs are Division II, Division III, not Division I. Division I, it's incredibly expensive, as you also know at Penn State, to have a these high-level football programs or basketball or hockey. So we're talking Division II and III. Even there, on average, it costs about $500,000 a year to start a football program, and there's a risk that it won't attract enough students, or it will attract students that require a lot of scholarship money, and in the end, there's not a revenue advantage. So all of those are calculations universities and colleges are making.
All right, now let's continue that line. I've got a story here. I don't think it was from you guys. I think I just grabbed it somewhere, I think last week. Down in North Carolina, there's a liberal arts school called St. Andrews University that apparently just a week or two ago announced, okay, we're done, and they closed on Monday. Just boom,
yep.
We're done. That's it. We're closing the doors. We're done. I don't know if you're familiar with that particular one, John, but are there a lot of school? It seems every week I see some blurb about a school closing. How many schools are closing right now?
79 since 2020. Whoa. 79 nonprofit universities since 2020.
Whew. And I would assume that's expected to continue.
It's going to get worse.
Now,
because there aren't enough customers. And while I haven't had the privilege of visiting Penn State, I've been to a lot of closed colleges. And it's the saddest thing you've ever seen. But a lot of these institutions, they've seen, I'll be honest with you, they've seen this enrollment decline coming. They didn't do anything about it. They focus on next year's class. They don't plan down the road. The reason that they're so vulnerable to the decline in the number of international students that's likely coming is because they needed those students. The number of international students in graduate programs in the last 10 years is up 70% because those programs, graduate programs generally, are revenue producers for colleges. Many colleges use their graduate programs to subsidize their undergraduate programs. Within those graduate programs, they've kept needing more and more international students to keep them running, and those numbers are already declining. Even before this current presidential administration, the number of international graduate students in the fall declined. So all of those things are ahead for colleges. It's going to be painful, and a lot of them will close.
Now, John, I'm assuming, are all these schools that have closed, you said 79, are these all really small liberal arts schools? I mean, this school, St. Andrews University, I'll be honest, before I saw this story, I never heard of them. Is there any, I hate to say, use the word, major schools or much larger schools that maybe they haven't closed yet, but they're leaning that direction? Do you know of any that might be out there?
Well, the colleges that are in the most trouble right now are small, regional, meaning they don't have a national brand. You know, they don't attract students from all over the country. They're dependent on their own neighborhoods. Religiously affiliated, more than half of the colleges that have closed are religiously affiliated. What else? Single gender, there's still some women's colleges, and they're vulnerable. Colleges don't have big endowments, colleges in rural places. All of those are the ones that are in trouble. Are you seeing a lot of big name colleges? Maybe not. A few are also merging. Gannon University, which I think is in Pennsylvania,
yes,
is merging with Ursuline College in Ohio. Those are both Catholic universities. So there are a number of those that they see the writing on the wall finally, and they are teaming up to preempt this decline in enrollment. Because if you merge, and we're going to see a lot more mergers, and you've seen that in Pennsylvania and in other states among public universities as well, your administrative costs decline because you have one central office serving more students, so your per unit cost, per student cost is lower. You can offer more programs. You're going to see that as well. So you'll see mergers as well as closings. But yeah, there's going to be a lot of closings. There already have been, and they have tended to be in the Northeast and the Midwest, and that's where you're going to see more of them happening.
All right, here's my obvious next question. All right, John, we got Penn State in the backyard, big university. They have a blanket of Commonwealth or branch campuses across not all of Pennsylvania, but a lot of Pennsylvania. And this could happen next week, the announcement that, okay, we're going to close some of these branch campuses for whatever the reasons are that are given. Enrollment, money, Penn State has a budget deficit right now, and so on. John, I honestly don't know this. Big public universities across America, do they all have branch campuses, you know, across their states and so on? Or is Penn State a bit more of an anomaly? Do you know that?
Not exactly an anomaly, but it's a state-by-state kind these are all state systems, so each state is different. Some other states, Vermont, for example, the flagship is independent, but there's a sort of second tier of colleges, the Vermont State Universities, that are all now combined. As in Pennsylvania, they've merged them. In most states, what you have is a flagship that's independent and of the other institutions, and then you have sort of what in the industry is called regional public universities. And those sometimes are affiliated with one another, sometimes independent. Those second-tier I don't mean that in terms of quality. That second level of regional public universities, those are the ones where you're seeing huge budget cuts, huge program cuts, huge cuts in majors. But it's not unique to them. Even some flagships like West Virginia University, you might have read, has made massive cuts in programs. You talk about the financial issues at Penn State. I don't know that Penn State is necessarily, you know, I'm saying this facetiously. I know that Penn State is not in existential trouble. But a lot of public universities are facing those kinds of budget issues. They are a result of enrollment problems that we've been talking about through this segment. You're seeing those kinds of things as well.
All right. Now, I think you folks had a story about online classes versus in-person classes, and yet somehow they're the same cost, and people are complaining about that like that shouldn't be. What can you tell me about that? Is that true?
This is related to what we've been talking about, and it would be hilarious if it wasn't so sad. Technology for every other industry is a way to lower prices, right, and increase productivity. And that was the promise of online higher education. If you think about the history of online higher education, it's an outgrowth of correspondence schools. If you remember these or you've read about them, that they would mail you the textbook and a test, and you'd study and then mail the test back, and they would grade you. Once the internet came into wide use, this kind of thing went online. Initially, for-profit universities like the University of Phoenix tended to dominate the online space. Then big selective universities like MIT created massive courses. They called them massive open online courses, or MOOCs, that thousands or tens of thousands of people all over the world could take at the same time. All of that promised to make higher education cheaper. So online higher education has expanded, and its momentum was accelerated by the pandemic, because even though we all complained about having to go online, students got used to it, and so they've continued to sort of migrate to online higher education. And they expected that it would be cheaper. In a survey, 80% of Americans assume that online higher education should be cheaper. You don't need a classroom, you don't need a building, you don't need an office, you can teach a huge number of people, but in fact, 80% of online courses cost as much as or more than in-person courses. And the reason that that's happening is because while the number of students on campus is declining, colleges need somebody to pay to keep the lights on. And so they're charging higher prices for online courses to basically continue to run the in-person campuses. If you look on social media, students who take online courses are really furious about this, but that's how things have evolved. Even worse, and this one will blow you away, that a quarter of these programs that offer online courses charge an additional fee, a distance learning fee, to their online course, online students. Again, every indication is that these students should be cheaper to educate, and instead colleges are charging them more or the same.
Oh, boy, the fees again. Okay.
The fees again.
Gotta love the fees again. One more quick question, John, and we're done. I don't think I can watch the news any week without seeing a fresh story about an Ivy League school in some kind of trouble. Anti-Semitism, protesting. Harvard has $52 billion they're just sitting on. Why are we handing them more money? You know, all those sorts of stories. Just about a minute or so, just a general open-ended question. What is going on with the Ivy League? Is this really chaotic, or is this much ado about nothing?
Yes and no. I think it's I don't think it's much to do about nothing. I think that they're really easy targets in the culture wars, and that a lot of this, I mean, this is not my opinion. This is just a, I think it would be clear to any objective observer, this is a political, these are political attacks. On the other hand, it is also true that these institutions have not done a particularly good job of making a case for themselves. And, the primary evidence of that was with the congressional hearings where the presidents of Harvard and Penn really did not acquit themselves well, really did not sound like they were understanding the public concerns that were being expressed. So they're victims, I think, of the culture wars. On the other hand, they haven't done a particularly good job for the most part in responding to those things. So that's why I say that the answer is both yes and no.
All right. That's a fair answer. I'll go with that. That's fine. John, appreciate your time this morning. Again, fascinating stuff. The website, again, folks, is HechingerReport.org. If you have an interest in education and in this town, I figure most folks probably do, definitely check these folks out. They are really great. John, we appreciate your time again, and thanks a lot this morning.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
You're welcome. All right, folks, we're going to take a quick break. We'll have one more rather quick segment here to wrap up on a Wednesday program. Let's Talk will continue after this.
Would you like to profit from Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox? If you have sales experience, we're looking for new team members to spread the word to local businesses about 98.7 The Fox. Sell advertising with a lot of potential from all of our Fox programs, Pittsburgh Pirates baseball, and live sports events focused right here in Center County. For more information, contact manager Sam Jordan via email at foxsportshappyvalley@gmail.com. That's foxsportshappyvalley@gmail.com. Join us here at 98.7 The Fox.
Let Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox make you a winner this summer with our Summer Splash Contest with Clearwater Pools and Spas in Center Hall. This Father's Day weekend, The Fox will be giving away a spacious hot springs hot tub during the Belfont Cruise at Talleyrand Park in downtown Belfont. Stop by these fine locations and get signed up to become a qualifier for the contest. Dottery Equipment, Route 64 in Mill Hall. Fisher's Market at the Y in Milesburg and at Clearwater Pools and Spas in Center Hall.
The 36th Annual Historic Belfont Cruise coming up Father's Day weekend, June 13th and 14th. Top-notch entertainment all weekend long. It starts out Friday night with an open cruise, a stock-off, the big car show on Saturday with over 30-plus classes of cars, trucks, and motorcycles on display. Plenty of sponsorship opportunities for you. Call 814-280-5881 or visit BelfontCruise.org. That's 814-280-5881 or BelfontCruise.org. The 36th Annual Historic Belfont Cruise, Father's Day weekend, June 13th and 14th.
Join the Nittany Knights as they perform Just Sing, 7 p.m. May 17th at the State Theater in downtown State College. This year's spring show will feature 2024 International Barbershop Harmony Society Gold Medal winners, Three and a Half Men, along with choirs from State College High School and Mountain Indian Park Forest Middle Schools. Tickets $30 for adults, $20 for children 15 and under. Get your tickets today at nittanyknights.org. Just Sing, May 17th, 7 p.m. at the State Theater. Made possible by a grant from the Happy Valley Adventure Bureau.
Have you checked out our new website, 987thefox.info? When you do, be sure to scroll to the bottom, enter your email address. Then sometime soon, you'll be a 987 The Fox Insider with our newsletter feature, thoughts from some of our hosts that you won't get on our shows, messages from sponsors, and even special deals as an Insider newsletter exclusive. We'll take good care of your email address, no sharing or selling. Hope you'll join us on 987thefox.info and enter your email address at the bottom. Be an Insider, only from 987 The Fox.
The Center County Recycling and Refuse Authority is proud to support local sports here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. Check out our website at centercountyrecycles.org for employment opportunities, upcoming events, the authority's newsletter, and details on what can and can't be recycled, as well as updated schedules. That's centercountyrecycles.org. Once again, the website is centercountyrecycles.org.
If you're like me, you have neighbors that have zero-turn mowers, and some are satisfied and others not so much. I've had neighbors come over while I'm mowing with my Kubota and want to try it out. I told Bob and Clyde, you need to get to Daughter Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64 for Kubota. I have a Z200 25 horsepower with the simplest operation and a pristine cut every time, even though I have a lawn and, shall we say, a challenging bank, ditch, and, of course, the wife's ornamental bushes. If you're trying to decide on a great lawn care machine, get to Daughter Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64. At Daughter Equipment, they're experts on Kubota lawn care machines that keep you moving quickly and efficiently. Your destination for Kubota is Daughter Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64. You may even meet my neighbors, Bob and Clyde.
Sports Radio 98.7, the Fox Sports.
Oh, boy, they're calling in already. Holy smokes. Well, we've only got a couple of minutes, so we're going to have to make this quick. Let's talk here on a Wednesday morning, Scott, with you, and we'll take the call right now. Good morning. You're live on Let's Talk.
Hey, another great interview.
Thank you.
I agree with all his demographics. You should steer clear of stats because they redefine stats. Interest and inflation is an example. They redefine inflation over our lifetime. Back when we were kids in the 70s, inflation was defined differently. You know, it was predominant by the cost of food and energy. I think today it's predominant by flat screen TVs and computer chips and stuff like that. But great interview.
Thank you.
But this regard to philosophy. Go back to the beginning of the United States, revolutionary United States. It started out with a guy called Washington, and he decided not to be king, but on the other hand, he was not a proponent of parties. And then as soon as he stepped down after two terms, Adams and Jefferson got in each other's political throats. They died in old age being friends. But then if you contrast that to the Russians, the Bolsheviks, as long as Lenin was alive, Stalin and Trotsky got along well. Once Lenin stepped away, boy, they were literally at each other's throats.
Yeah, it got ugly.
So,
Trotsky was the loser, yeah.
Yeah, he got knifed in Mexico. So I actually think that's where our Ivy Leaguers are. They are the ultimate globalists / communists, and they've kind of forgotten how to play well together.
Hmm.
So I think that's where our Ivy Leaguers are. But the good news is Penn State is grounded in engineering, which I think is grounded in manufacturing, and I hope manufacturing makes a comeback. Penn State sticks to their engineering roots, and I'm sure the guys will come back to campus. So leave it at that.
All right. All right. Appreciate the call. Thank you. Oh, that's an interesting thought. All right. Again, it's not easy at Old Main right now on a number of different levels. You know, we want to dump on some people, not we. Some people want to dump on them from time to time. And again, let's see next week if the hammer drops as far as the branch campuses are concerned. Again, not all of them, some of them. Well, how many? 1, 2, 5, you know, that sort of thing. Well, no. Could this happen next week? Possibly. Let's get the semester done. Let's get graduation out of the way. And then next week, boom. All right. That'll be one of the big stories possibly next week. So it's not an easy time in colleges and universities. Hey, folks, thanks for joining us. Hope you enjoyed everything. The Ironhead will be back. He better bring my bacon tomorrow. Hope you join us for tomorrow's program. In the meantime, have a great Wednesday.
From State College, Lock Haven, and Bellefonte, Central PA Sports Authority, Sports Radio 98.7, The Fox.
Sports Radio 98.7, The Fox.
Let Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox make you a winner this summer with our Summer Splash Contest with Clearwater Pools and Spas in Center Hall. This Father's Day weekend, The Fox will be giving away a spacious hot springs hot tub during the Belfont Cruise at Talleyrand Park in downtown Belfont. Stop by these fine locations and get signed up to become a qualifier for the contest. Dottery Equipment, Route 64 in Mill Hall. Fisher's Market at the Y in Milesburg. And at Clearwater Pools and Spas in Center Hall.
The 36th Annual Historic Belfont Cruise coming up Father's Day weekend, June 13th and 14th. Top-notch entertainment all weekend long. It starts out Friday night with an open cruise, a sock-off, the big car show on Saturday with over 30-plus classes of cars, trucks, and motorcycles on display. Plenty of sponsorship opportunities for you. Call 814-280-5881 or visit BelfontCruise.org. That's 814-280-5881 or BelfontCruise.org. The 36th Annual Historic Belfont Cruise, Father's Day weekend, June 13th and 14th.
This year's Penn State Board of Trustees election is about transparency and competence. And Pat Romano is asking for your alumni vote. Pat is a successful local business owner from Phillipsburg and a leader on the World Campus Alumni Board who believes in lowering student tuition, saving Commonwealth campuses, improving the Penn State student experience, and in honoring Joe and Sue Paterno by returning the Joe Paterno statue. Number 3 on your alumni ballot, Pat Romano will focus on Penn State's future and enough of the nonsense. This spring, vote for Pat Romano for the Penn State Board of Trustees.
Hey, how you doing? Welcome to XYZ Printing.
My son's soccer team is looking for new jerseys.
Well, I can do that.
Something in green with white lettering.
No problem at all. Right here in this box.
Those are white shirts.
Not for long.
Just because someone says they make custom t-shirts doesn't mean they're from Pamp.
What's the name of Yun's team up there?
The Tigers.
Is that with one G or two?
For quality you can see and wear, remember PAMP for customized t-shirts, letterheads, envelopes, magnetic signs, and business cards. PAMP has a low minimum of 12 shirts for printing and no minimum on embroidered items. They don't charge art fees or setup fees. Pricing is simple and easy, and they have a quick turnaround. They're open Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Located at 136 South Harrison Road, Pleasant Gap. For more information, call 814-359-2447.